Good morning. Trying to find my notes because you don't want me preaching without notes. I take longer. This is the third sermon in the series on fasting. But not only fasting is the fasting that pleases God, because there is a fasting that displeases God. And I gave you an introduction, the first sermon, and then we looked at some questions about fasting. The first one that we looked at is, should Christians fast today? And we saw the examples of Jesus. We saw the examples of the New Testament church. We saw the example of Paul. And we came to a conclusion that fasting is, yes, Christians should fast today. The second question that we looked at is, why should Christians fast? And, well, if you desire a closer walk with God, if you are praying about something very important to you, that is why you should fast. And the third question that we went into is, when should Christians fast? Because the Bible doesn't give us an example as far as, or a commandment to say you should do this every week, every day, once a year, twice a year. It doesn't say that. So when should you fast? And, well, it is whenever we desire God's help. That's when we should fast. Whenever we desire God's help. Now, this could come in an individual level. That's just you. Maybe you're facing difficult temptations, trials, problems. Maybe you were up here in the mountaintop, and all of a sudden, you're down here in the valley. That's a good time to fast. Whenever you're facing, or a loved one is facing, a serious illness, and sometimes, you know, in life, those illnesses do come up. There are family members, probably even right now, some of your family members or friends that are going through something very, very difficult, where fasting is necessary. Or whenever you want a closer relationship with God. How many of us want a closer relationship with God? I want a closer relationship with God. I want a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, because as I read in my Bible, is most of the time Jesus asking is, do I know you? Do I know you? That's about relationship. And that's the important thing, is to get to know Jesus Christ. So whenever you feel like we have walked away from God, I think it'd be a good time to fast, to get that closeness back with Jesus. Now, there's another level. There's a congregational level. When should we as a congregation fast? Well, we mentioned last week when appointing elders. I mean, that's a very important office. And I know we've been asking your prayers as the nominating committee has been meeting. And by the way, we're almost done. Almost done. We just need a few more of you to say yes. And we'll be done. But whenever appointing elders, sending missionaries, when we send missionaries out. And here in our congregation, there are two people that are planning to go out and sort of be missionaries. Max is still praying about his trip to Africa, and the Andersons are still, I haven't heard anything, but you're still planning to go, yes, as a family. And we as a church, I'm planning something. Maybe next week I'm going to mention something about a mission trip. But it's important to pray and fast. And I think we as a congregation should be fasting when major decisions are to be taken as a church. Because when we fast, what we're asking is really for the Lord to come close to us and to guide us even more directly. When should we fast? Whenever a situation calls for persistent prayer. You know, the fasting doesn't go with just the prayers that we sometimes have in the morning for our food, in the afternoon for your lunch, and in the evening for your supper or dinner. You know, I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking about when you need to be in persistent prayer. That's a good time to fast. Now, those are occasions, like I said, when we need to get closer to Jesus Christ. Occasions when there's probably some temptation that the devil is throwing at you. Those are occasions where you need to combine fasting and prayer. You know, the Bible teaches, and we are taught, that God is more likely to answer a prayer when we are persistent. Luke 18:1-8. We need to be persistent. Some people say, well, the Lord knows already, why should I even pray? If we fast, and if you decide to fast, you need to fast the proper way, because there is an improper way of fasting. So what is this fasting that pleases God? All right, now we're going to continue. The first thing is a fasting that's not to be seen by of men. And this is what the Bible tells and we read about. When the Pharisees, they practiced this kind of fasting. They went around doing their fasting with a sad countenance, disfigured. They probably sometimes even put ashes, perhaps, on their clothing to let people know, hey, look at me, today I am fasting. I guess that type of fasting could only gain the approval of men, but I could assure you it did not gain the approval of God. I remember when I was growing up, I'm maybe 15, 16, in the Spanish church there in Huntington Park, California. I was growing up, and I know I shouldn't, and we should not have done this, okay? I know that. But we did it anyway. We would see people, and we would snicker at them and laugh at them because they were fasting. But the thing is, how did we know that they were fasting? I don't know why they did this, but you could tell the person that was fasting. One of the signs was, for some reason, they walked slower. And they always carried their Bible like this. It seems like holy men walked slow. And they didn't shave. You know, you stand. No. And they didn't talk that Sabbath. They weren't social. And when they're fasting, the pages turn slower too. And I was thinking, you know, this is maybe what the Pharisees did in Jesus' time. They walked around with a sad countenance and just to let people know, hey, I am fasting today. And great, our leader is fasting. Oh, he's getting closer to God. The Bible says we should do the opposite. When you fast, wash your face, anoint your face, be happy in the Lord. Don't let everybody else know that you're fasting. You don't need to know. And you say, question, Pastor, what about if somebody invites me to eat lunch? And you just have to say, brother, thank you very much, but I have plans already. Don't tell them you have plans to fast. Just say, I have plans already, but thank you very much for the invitation. No one needs to know except God, and God knows. And as a matter of fact, God knows our heart, and he knows why we're doing this. So that's one of the things. When you fast, don't let men know. Go do your daily rituals, you know. Get ready for Sabbath. You look nice. You're coming in the presence of God. God is alive, isn't he? Then if he's alive, he's here today. And if he's here today, you and I are here to worship him. We are honoring him. We're here. Praise the Lord for that. We should fast not as a ritual. There are some denominations that every week, practically every day at times, you could take communion. And fasting should not be done just because it's a ritual that you are doing. Question, can rituals get you to heaven? I know you have to process that a little bit. Think about it. Can rituals get you to heaven? Because I know some of you are thinking, well, we're here, where Sabbath is a ritual, so you process that. But understand in the context that I'm asking the question, can a ritual get you to heaven? Can a ritual save you? I'll answer that one a little bit later on. When you fast, you need to fast and understand that we need to fast with true repentance in our heart. We're seeking God's guidance in situations where we need to be spending a lot of time in prayer. And we're asking the Lord, lead us. Please continue to guide us. This is a very important decision I am making. Please, I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. What situations would you think? Well, I'm thinking of one right now. It's going to happen June 24th. You know, like seeking a life partner. Maybe a little fasting would be good. Because I kind of think it's a little bit important. A life partner. It is important that we seek the Lord with true repentance. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 58. If you have your Bibles, open them to Isaiah chapter 58, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 11. This has to do with the fasting that pleases God. This is what the scripture says. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? So they're complaining to the Lord, is we've fasted. Why have you not responded? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? Have you ever felt that way? You feel like the Lord is not answering our prayers, your prayers. In fact, it says, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fall. So what kind of fasting is the fasting that pleases God? It is a fasting when we're able to put aside self and be able to help others. That is the true type of fasting. These people used to go out and fast, but they were oppressing their workers. They were doing wickedness. They were doing all kinds of things just like they normally did, but now they're trying to find favor in God's eyes. And all the praying, all the fasting that you will do or are planning to do, if it's not accompanied by penitent obedience in our part, is of no use. Is of no use. Well, let me rephrase that. Is of no spiritual use. Maybe health-wise, you might get some benefit from fasting, but spiritually, it's a big zero. When we fast, we need to put self aside. We need to understand that we are fasting for a specific purpose. Now, let me give you some practical suggestions about fasting. All right. First one is don't go out and fast just because it sounds like a neat thing to do. Oh, fasting. Oh, that's great. Yeah, let's try it. Let's start tomorrow. No. Even when you're going to fast, you need to pray. You need to prepare yourself for fasting. And I wanted to say this because the first sermon I preached, some came up to me and said, well, because we had fellowship meal our first Sabbath, and it, you know, it's all that food and everything. And some of you said, well, that was just the right timing for fasting. And I said, in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, it was. It was. It was the perfect timing for fasting because I wouldn't expect you to start fasting after the sermon, because that wouldn't have been sufficient time for you to prepare yourself and pray and be spiritually fit to start fasting. So I would say, go enjoy your meal. Enjoy the meal prepared by the brothers and sisters, because now that you've heard it, you will have time to prepare yourselves and begin to understand what fasting is all about. So when you do fasting, make sure you're serious about it and you're praying about fasting. Fast only when the occasion is serious. Now, I'm not going to tell you what a serious occasion is, because here in this congregation, we all might have differences of opinion of what serious is. But if it's serious to you, then it's serious to your Father, then it sounds like it's a good occasion to fast. When you are desperate, when you desire God's help, you need to fast. If you have never fasted, okay? Maybe most of you have, maybe some of you haven't, but if you never have fasted, here's some other practical suggestions. Number one, start slow. And for brief periods of time. If you never fasted, don't go and say, I'm a fast for a week. Don't do that. If you've never fasted, don't go out and say, I'm a fast for a week and I'm just going to drink water. Don't do that. Start slow. It depends on your diet also. If you're still eating meat, well, I recommend you stop eating meat when you're fasting. And just do a vegetable fast or a fruit. And don't do it for the whole week. Do one day. Remember what the object of fasting, the goal of fasting is to get closer to God, is so God can speak to us and guide us in any decision that we have to make or any trial or temptation that we are facing. Maybe you're even facing discouragement. Fast. Fast. So start slow. Short periods of time. If you're going to fast, and if you start, then end slow. We used to fast when we were young, 15, 16, 17. But, you know, as I look at it now, we totally did the opposite of what needed to be done. First of all, when we fasted, we were like piglets before the fast. I mean, we would just, because we know we were going to go for about 24 hours without food. So we were just stocking up. And then when the fast was over, we did the same thing again. Now we were starving. And wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Totally wrong. If you're going to fast, prepare yourselves physically, spiritually. Start slow. And when you break the fast, my suggestion is you... you know, eat something light, fresh fruits or something. Don't go out and get this whole big meal to reward yourself because of the great fast you have done. Whenever you're going to fast, make sure you have time for prayer. When we fasted, when we were young, we fasted, and all we thought about was the hour when the fast was going to be over, so we could eat. Now, what did that fast do for me spiritually? Big zero. The other thing that we didn't have a choice, because when the church decided to fast, everybody fasted. And when our parents said, we're going to fast, we all fasted. No choice. And we didn't have any choice either, because my mom didn't cook. So we waited and waited and waited and waited. Because usually the fast were, we would fast from Friday evening, beginning of Sabbath, to the end of Sabbath, 24 hours. So we waited and waited. And boy, those 1,000 years were a long time to wait. And it was 6:59, Sabbath is over at 7, and we were just almost fainting, seeing the visions of all kinds of food dancing around our heads. And as I look back, you know, it's funny now, but seriously, spiritually, we didn't get nothing. Nothing. When you plan to fast, make sure you spend time in prayer. That is the purpose of fasting. To humble ourselves in the sight of God and to seek a favorable answer. That's what we want. That's what we need. That's what our goal should be in fasting. Now, is there such a thing as somebody that should never fast? Okay? Okay, we looked at the Bible. It said, should Christians fast? Help me out. Should Christians fast? Yes or no? Yes. When? Well, we don't know, but we know when the occasion calls for it. When you think it's serious enough, you should fast. So biblically, yes, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, should fast. But is there someone that should never fast? And some of you, yes. Some of you got the answer. Yes. And who are they? Well, someone that's recovering from surgery. Now, you may not agree with some of these, and that's okay. That's okay. But I think someone recovering from surgery should be careful about that. If you're too skinny, if you really are too thin, I would suggest, if you are planning to fast, that you take advice from your doctor. And excuse my typo right there. If you're seeing FROM. People that are prone to bulimia or anorexia, you need to be careful. People with severe weakness or anemia, be careful. people who have bleeding ulcers, blood diseases, tumors, cancer, heart diseases. Who else should never fast? People with chronic problems with the heart, with the lungs, kidneys, and other vital organs. Be careful. Now, if some of you might say, well, I have that, and I'm going to fast. Be careful. And if you do choose to fast, please, please consult your doctor. Very important. People with blood sugar problems, hyperglycemia, be careful. Pregnant and nursing women. I was looking at that and I said, should I even put women? But yes, I thought it might have been redundant to put pregnant and nursing women. But if you are pregnant and if you're nursing it, you need to fast or want to fast, I would just say seek advice from your doctor before you attempt to do this. What have we learned? Hopefully something. First thing is that three Sabbaths on fasting, and I didn't even begin to cover all that needs to be covered. But I just hope that in doing this, you would continue your own study on fasting, because there's a lot more that could be said about this spiritual discipline, which is, by the way, very, very important. We learned that Jesus expected us to fast. He expected us to fast. It wasn't a question of if you're going to fast, is when you fast, the Bible says, when you fast. And if there is that expectation from Jesus, then I strongly advise you that you look at the Bible and make sure you understand the fasting that pleases God. Because we do not want to fall into, I guess, the ritualistic fasting that some people go into that really doesn't have no spiritual benefit to them, because they're doing a fasting that does not please God. Now, fasting is very useful. Fasting is appropriate. But fasting and praying alone cannot save you. Do you remember Saul? Do you remember Saul? I hope you do. Maybe I said the Saul in the Bible. Because I just thought about it. Saul who? Saul, the one that works at the school there? Saul. He used to be, he became Paul, but he was Saul. He was riding to Damascus, and he met Jesus Christ. And in this case, knocked him off his horse, and he became blind. And the Bible says that for 3 days, there in Acts 9, if you want to look at Acts 9, verse 9, it says, "And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank." So for 3 days, Saul, what did he do? He fasted. And let me tell you, when you really meet God, when you really see Jesus, you'd want to fast. And then in chapter 22 of Acts, he retells the story of what happened to him. But then there's an addition there in Acts 22, verse 12. Acts 22, verse 12, and this is what it says. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour, it says, I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness, verse 15, to all men of what you have seen and heard. So Ananias comes to Saul after 3 days of fasting, and he says, receive your sight. You will go out and preach the gospel to all men. What does that have to do with fasting? And what I just said, that fasting and prayer is not going to gain salvation for you because of what Ananias told him next. Ananias said, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The one that could save us, the only one that could save us, is Jesus Christ. If you're doing some ritualistic fasting or even ritualistic Sabbath attendance. Have you ever asked someone, why do you go to church on Sabbath? Have you ever asked someone? I'd have many times. Why do you go to church on Sabbath? Especially young people. Why do you go to church on Sabbath? And sometimes the response is, because I have to. Because it's what we do. Because I don't want to go to hell. I could tell you all kinds of responses that I've heard. And all of them sound like it's a ritualistic thing that we're doing. Because I feel guilty if I stay home and sleep, which that's what I really want to do. Why are you here today? Why have you come here? To worship God? Because your parents made you? Arise and be baptized. And wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So as you go out, know that God, Jesus Christ, expected us to fast. But he also expected us to fast according to his wishes. A fast that will honor and glorify his name. Let's close our worship service singing number 306, Draw Me Nearer. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. And the only way we are able to hear God's voice more clearly, really, fasting is a very important part of this. I have heard your voice, and it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee.